And we'll read from John's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 17. The verse will be on the screen. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. We know, of course, that though he started carrying his own cross, he had to have help. But noting especially the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. In the Welsh Church, we've been looking at the four G's of Easter. Now, it's not about new phones or anything like that. The four G's of Easter are four words, all starting with G, which summarise the Easter happenings. Three of them are in Aramaic. In the story of the suffering, three Aramaic, which would be the language that Jesus and the disciples spoke, three words are noted in the Aramaic. And then the fourth, which I've added on, fortunately, is G in Welsh and in English. So if we want to go through them, first of all, we've got Gethsemane. That is where Jesus was made aware by God of what he would have to suffer, and that he realizes the enormity of what's before him, the cup that he has to drink, and he accepts it. That's where he is tested by God. Next, we get Gabbatha. That's the least known. Gethsemane, the garden, the Mount of Olives. Gabbatha, the platform where Pilate judges Christ. So the second part of his suffering was the courts of law. He goes through five different ones very, very quickly. But the place of judgment where finally Pilate sentences him to crucifixion. Third, Golgotha, which we'll be looking at today. And then, Sunday morning, the garden tomb, the resurrection. So if you want the fourth G, you've got to come here. But somehow I guess that Roddy will be talking about the resurrection in Alfred Place as well. I should think. Now then, Golgotha. I'm just going to put a bit of an aside. Where does Calvary come from? Right, because you'll find in lots of the hymns, it doesn't call Golgotha, it's called Calvary. Now, there's a bit of a background how this happened. The meaning of the name of the place is the skull. And in the Bible, it's in the Greek, which gives us the word cranium, right? Or in the Aramaic, it says Golgotha. But the early translations of the New Testament were in Latin, and that was the popular language for years. And the name then in Latin for the skull, Calvary. And that's how the word Calvary came. The translators of the Authorised Version, when they got to Luke's Gospel, rather than using it as it was, they put the popular name in Calvary. So that's how the word Calvary comes, but more correctly, you should say Golgotha. If I was pedantic, you shouldn't say Jesus died on Calvary at Easter, but in Golgotha at Passover. I'm not that pedantic, right? I understand what you mean. But the word is Golgotha. First of all, I want to talk about its importance. Its importance. The place is named in all four Gospels. The place of the skull, that's what it means. And three of the four also gave the popular name that the Jews would call it, Golgotha. So it's given prominence. Something important happened here. Now, lots of places get that sort of prominence. If I said Waterloo, it's unlikely that any of us would happen to know just of a few fields, you know, wherever Waterloo is, but we know the Battle of Waterloo happened there. Gettysburg, I say America, the battle, the Gettysburg Address. We became so famous. Auschwitz, notorious for a bad reason. Come on in. Or if you passed my house in Penrhyn Coch, you'd come across Mangeni David ap Gwilym, the birthplace of David ap Gwilym, 13th century Welsh poet, not quite so famous. But you see, right here, Golgotha, right, is mentioned. Something important happened here. Here, the most wondrous events in all history happened. As the planets revolve around the sun, history, especially the history of salvation, revolves around Golgotha. What happened here? Here, the God-man, Jesus Christ, God become man, voluntarily died for us on the cross. Here, God's anger against sin was poured out fully on Jesus in our place. Here, forgiveness of sins, complete, full, utter, total forgiveness was manufactured, if I may put it like that, by Jesus on the cross. Here, through Christ's sacrifice, a great storehouse of blessings was prepared that is sufficient for God's people for all eternity. It was made on the cross. From here today, we can still take blessings and receive them, peace with God, all through what happened on the cross. So this place is important. Now, just to be pedantic, once again, it's not the place. The place, in one sense, the place of the skull, the place of execution. Nothing special there, be terrible. But what happened there when Jesus died for us almost 2,000 years ago? So let's go through what happened. Let's go through what happened. Sorry, I'm going to have to take some water. I'll divide it into three parts. First of all, what people did. Some people deserted Jesus. His disciples ran away. They were fearful of their lives. No, you can see how they felt. You know, Peter was willing to fight to the death, but just to give up, you know, and hand himself over, he couldn't do that. The disciples deserted him. One of them, Judas, betrayed him. He was taken by the Jews and went through different trials. He was handed over to the Romans. They found him innocent, but they declared him guilty. And they took him, whipped him, beat him, and then they crucified him naked on the cross. While he was there on the cross, he was mocked by the Romans, put a crown of thorns on his head, you know, acted, well, before he was crucified, acted, you know, bowing to him as if he was a king and hitting him and so on. The Jewish leaders were there now making fun of him, claimed to be God, let God help him now. Even the passers-by, the yobs shouting at him, even the thieves, to begin with, both of them, all made fun of him. He was crucified more or less about 9 o'clock. Till 12, it was the usual agonies of the cross. Then from 12 o'clock to 3, there were 3 hours of darkness. And we'll look at this a little later. After 3, he died. And a spear was stuck through his side just to make sure that he was dead. So that's what people did. Secondly, what God did. What God did. God the Father purposely handed Jesus over to be crucified. Here we come across the real purpose of the cross. If you want to understand what happened on the cross, you must understand what God did. God the Father counted the sins of mankind onto Jesus, as if Jesus had committed all our sins. Now you think if all your sins were made public here, how ashamed you would feel. How much worse that all the sins of mankind, the terrible things that have happened, the war crimes, paedophilia, murder, corruption, all these sorts of things, they were put on Jesus. He was dressed with them. How would that feel? The sort of picture that comes to my mind is a bride on the day of a wedding in pure white being thrown into a cesspit. How horrible that would be. And Jesus, perfectly holy, is dressed, as it were, with our sin, is put upon him. And because he's dressed with our sin, because the guilt of our sin is put on him, God's, the Father's, anger against sin, his wrath, his hatred of sin, is poured out on Jesus. And it's poured out full strength. There is no mercy in it, because there's no mercy in it, so that we have no anger left for those us who trust in him. So God pours out his anger on Jesus, so much so until God's justice is satisfied. That's the right punishment. His anger against sin is appeased. The anger's poured out. It's gone. Until the punishment is completed. And this is what's signified especially by those 3 hours of darkness. This is where God pours out his punishment on Jesus in our place. The eternal relationship between Jesus, God the Son and God the Father, perfect for eternity, is broken, in the sense that love is taken away, the wrath poured out. That's the cup that Jesus in Gethsemane fears. And that's what he takes on the cross. Don't think that God was passive on the cross. God the Father was active. So we see what people did, what the Father did, what Jesus did. Jesus voluntarily, out of love for people like you and me who don't deserve it at all, went to the cross. He took our place, knowing full well and much in much greater depth than we ever will what was before him. He was not forced. Can you remember when he was arrested? Peter started to fight and he said, I could call legions of angels now, and be set free. But he didn't. And he went to the cross and he bore it. He bore all that mankind could give. He bore what Satan could throw at him. He bore God's anger for those 3 dark hours. And at the end, he shouted out, "It is finished!" He paid the price. The punishment for our sin, he'd taken it and it was over. He completed it. And once he'd completed and once he'd paid it fully, he said, "It is finished," and he died. Because really, that was how he finished off the payment. Because the punishment of sin is not just the wrath of God, but death. Have you understood what happened on the cross? What men did, what God did, what Christ did. Lastly, how it affects us. How it affects us. It's appropriate that 2 others were crucified with Jesus, one on either side. Now, they're real people, right? It historically happened, but they also symbolize 2 different reactions to Jesus. One of them reviled Christ with the crowds and said, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." It's like people pray today, "Well, if you're God, make me healthy. Make me successful. Give me a happy marriage." Not because you really believe it, because you doubt it at all. You know, you make fun, mocking it, self-centered. That's the reaction of one of them. The other began in the same vein. He started off the same. But looking at Jesus, a change comes over him. He knew, first of all, repentance. He saw his own sinfulness. Notice what he said. Use the words, "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve." I wonder how many condemned criminals have ever said that. Very, very few. "We deserve it. We deserve it." Here's a person who's become aware he's a sinner. He's seen the evil, the badness that's inside. He also had faith. He saw Jesus as king. He said, "Remember me when you come to your kingdom." How did he see Jesus as king? Well, it sounds like, but through people making fun of him. The priest said, "You say you're a king," written above his head in three languages. He said, "King of the Jews." A crown of thorns was put on his head. They're all saying he's a king, making fun of him. But they see how Jesus reacts and his character. He sees he is a king. "Remember me when you come to your kingdom." And how are we to react to the death of Christ? In exactly the same way. It's actually what the Bible says time and time again. Do you want to be a Christian? Here's the basic answer: repentance and faith. What does repentance mean? This sorrow for our sin, this disdain and being ashamed of yourself, and you realize that you're so far from God. And then faith, you look to Jesus. You sort of are interested in him. You understand more about him. Perhaps you read and you talk about him. And you're drawn to him. And before long you understand who he is. God become man, and what he's done, died on the cross. But that's not enough. You call out to him. "Save me." Just like this thief called out. And you call out. And God through his Holy Spirit comes and works in your heart. What happens when you repent and believe? Well, all your sins are forgiven. Totally. Christ paid the price on the cross. Those things we are guilty of, washed away. You are brought to God. One verse in the Bible says, Christ died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. That is, you may find yourself far away from God. You know, he's so distant, I don't know him. You can know God. You can be brought to him. That you have a relationship with him through the cross. You're adopted as his children. It's not just an illegal thing. It's a relationship thing where you become a child of God. The Holy Spirit is put within you to give you a new sort of life. Not just the life on this earth, but a life that's aware of God, in relationship with God, which starts on this earth but continues after death forever. And we will go to heaven. Forever. Now that happens because Jesus sacrificially gave himself to die for us on the cross some 2,000 years ago in a place called the skull, Golgotha. Why do we call this Good Friday? because our salvation depends, relies on what Jesus did for us, or what God did with Jesus for us on the cross. Are you a person who's understood the cross and are relying on it? Well, if you are, it's good to come on a Good Friday like this and remember what happened. If not, turn to him. There you can get peace with God. The place that was called in Aramaic Golgotha. That's not the end of the story. He dies and put in a garden tomb to be continued Sunday morning. Amen.